Well, before we get started, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Cynthia Guzman. I'm from Calvary Pico Rivera. Yay. Yay. I've been there from the beginning, and it's been an awesome blessing to watch the Lord do some work. Let me see. I am married. I have 3 children. I have a 16-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old princess with a queen attitude already. So as far as my finances we go, I always tell people I'm in Pampers all the way to prom dresses. Everything in between I hit on. So, but before we get started, I just want to tell you, I'm not a financial advisor, financial counselor. I have no degrees in anything, but I do love the Lord. So I hope that brings you comfort. Yeah, that's a degree. But let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the work that you've done here, Lord. Yes. The preparingness of our hearts and yes. speaking to us so loud and clear here at this retreat. We thank you for your faithfulness to meet us here, Lord. So we pray that you go before our workshop right now, Lord, and that you would calm my heart and that you would just use me as your vessel, Lord God, and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God. We praise you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, when I first got asked to do this study, I thought, okay, stewardship. And then I thought, well, it's a workshop. We can do a really cute little craft and make a coupon book and how to make a meal list and all these cute ideas I was thinking. And then I prayed, and the Lord had something different. And I kind of struggled because I was like, Lord, I don't know where everybody's at. I don't know where everybody's situation. Lord, what do I give these women? And of course, he's faithful to answer. And he just said, just give me. Just me. That's all we need. So that's what we're going to do, is just look at what kind of what his word says and just some topics and just what helps me to be a good steward or working out, trying to be one. But first, we're going to see in Genesis 1:31 says, Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's, and it is and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. So it's clear, and I think we need to just have that mindset first and foremost, is that everything is his. He made everything. And we belong to him, our husbands, our families, our loved ones, everything belongs to him, my precious little dog I love, it's his. And as we realize that, it's easier to appreciate what he's given us. And this being the topic stewardship, it's kind of a hard one because it's like, well, it hits us where it hurts, our pocketbook. And we work for that, you know, we got our education, and we work, and we get up and go to school, or you know, and to that job every day, and we get that paycheck, and it's we earned it. I never met anybody that says, "Oh, I got this," and on Friday, and says, "Oh, I don't deserve this." Everybody, oh, and we usually look at it and go, "Oh, is that it?" Yes, you know, but we have to have that mindset. Remember, first and foremost, everything's the Lord's. It's the Lord. It's not my paycheck. It's the Lord's paycheck. So. So you just start with that, knowing everything is his, including us. Then if you can turn with me to Ecclesiastes 5:18. And says, here's what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. For it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God from God. For he will not dwell on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with joy in his heart. So I wanted to look at first in verse 18. We have no problem with the eating and drinking and enjoying. we got that one down. We got our funds, and yeah, I can eat, drink, and be merry all the days of my life. That's the worldly thing. But what I really want to look at is the days of our life which God gives us. So every day is precious. We know, and He has them numbered, but it's the days that He gives us. And then, moving on to verse 19, it says, God has given us riches and wealth. So everything is a gift from Him. Whether your job is a good one, or finances are good or bad, it's still a gift from Him. And I don't know about you guys, but I know, like, with my kids and around Christmas time and birthday parties and gifts are given, we say thank you. And that's what we're going to look at next, is being thankful for what we have. Once we realize everything He's given us, then we're going to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, and I'm not one of those moms that say, write out those Christmas, those thank you cards, and we don't do all that. But when I make I spend all day making a nice dinner, in my house I put it on plates, I have newspaper plates when I make something, I put a lot of effort into something, and we sit down and we eat as a family, I worked hard on that dinner. I want to hear a thank you. But what blesses me is when my kids simply just clean up after, they pick up our plate. Right. Not being told, just out of the willingness of their heart. They just pick up their plate, they're appreciative. And that's their sign of saying thanks. So we're going to go ahead and go to Philippians 4. Well, I'm going to set it up here a little bit. Well, I know, like, whether we're doing good or we're doing bad, sometimes our gifts can cause a little stress. Especially, Christmas time at my house, we get a lot of gifts that make a lot of noise, and you still have to be thankful for them. They cause some effort. But this is some advice that Paul's giving to the church, and they're in a little stressful situation. There's some women that aren't getting along, and just some issues taking place. So Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. So first we're going to look at verse 4. He says, rejoice. And then he repeats it again, rejoice. He says, be happy, be glad. Be excited. Well, you don't know my situation. Maybe I'm losing my house. I have to get my car back, or I got laid off. How am I, going to rejoice? But he says, rejoice in the Lord. We can always rejoice in what the Lord has done. We might not be able to rejoice in our circumstances, but we have to find something to rejoice in what the Lord has done, what the Lord has provided. You have a home, you have a home to love. That maybe we're losing, but we still have, our health. There's something always we can look and say, thank you, Lord. And then it says, let our gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. And I looked this up, and it kind of says in a commentary that we should live moderately, in moderation, that people will know this is not where our heart is, not here on earth. As Joseph spoke of a little while ago, this isn't it for us. We're living in moderation. We're going to take things easy because we have bigger and better plans for us in heaven. This is just our pit stop. And so we need to live in such a way to tell people, Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. He's going to come and get us. And this isn't it for us. Well, then it says, and I know with the stress, and I know, gosh, there's a lot of stress going on right now. And with the news telling us, worry, the Dow's down, and we don't have any money, and you're not going to get a job. We don't care how educated you are. It's almost like a panic mode. Every time I turn it on, I can only watch it once a week if you get depressed. But the Lord's telling us, calm down, breathe, take a chill pill, relax. relax. Then he says what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything prayer. Simply talk to me. He's calling us. Just talk to me. Tell me the details. Let me know each problem, every need that you may have. Let me hear it. What? Come humbly to me. So I want to hear from you. I want to see you. He wants to hear our hearts as well. He's there waiting, and he wants to just hear us. And he's saying, just calm down, talk to me, and find something to be thankful for. And that could be a hard part. I'm losing everything. What do you mean find something to be thankful for? But like in my house, there's lots of dirty dishes. I am the dishwasher elite. I don't have a dishwasher. It's me. But you know, and it's hard because I have dishes all the time. And I have to, when I'm washing dishes, sometimes I'm like, thank you, Lord. I have dirty dishes. That means we have food to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, I have something. I have dirty laundry. That means we have clothes on our back. You know, and I heard this story. And I think it was a Sheriff Brodison message. I'm not exactly sure, but there was a lady, an elderly lady that had passed away at their church. And they had went and just kind of cleaning out her stuff. And they went through her bills. And through every bill that, you know, our Edison stuff and all that we kept, there was a thank you, Lord, for the light. Because you're the light of my life. Thank you, Lord, for the water. You're the water came to my heart. Thank you. You know, and that's where we need to be. And, you know, and I'm sure she didn't start there. It started simple with thank you, maybe, for my dirty dish. Or, you know, for my shoes that might be a little old, but they still work. Or, you know, for anything. And that's where our hearts really need to start. Just being that thankful. I think it kind of all starts with that. It's beautiful. That was so after that, after we're thankful, then the Lord will give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace and calming give us that strength that we're able to go to work and not worry about it, the stress our bosses may have on us or the issues our husband may come to us with, and that we're going, hey, but I got that peace. And it's going to guard, he says, goes on and says, and it will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Because right now, we need to be guarded. Our hearts need to be guarded from all these issues that are taking place. And our taxes going up and so many, you know, it's chaos right now. And there's so many people in a panic and they have no hope. And this is our time to shine and to be that light and say, why have that peace? And people are going, well, where do you get that peace from? Well, I talk to my Lord, and I just do what it says here. You know, and that's our time to have that hope. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray always without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I know we all want to be in his will, so he desires us to pray and then be thankful. And then being thankful prepares our hearts to be givers. Mm-hmm. Next, that's what we need to do, is be that giver. And we must give humbly, with a thankful and willing and joyful heart. And I know right now is a hard time, you know. We hear churches are taking their hits as well. People, you know, we can't give. We don't have it. We're giving less. But the Lord doesn't care what we give. So if you can turn with me to John 6. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread and that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" And now what blesses me here is because Jesus knew. He knew what they had. He knew, just like Philip knew. They had the 200 denarii, and he tested Philip. He said, "Philip, what are we going to do? What can we do? And Philip, "Well, we don't have enough, you know, and I'm going to give Philip that grace." He was probably tired and hungry after his little trip with Jesus. You know, he didn't pass the test. But Andrew came up full of faith. I imagine, I just picture him coming up, "But Lord, we have this little lunch, you know." And then I just imagine Philip looking at him like going, "What?" You know, and then he goes, "Oh, but what is it to feed?" You know, like, I know it's nothing after, you know. But the blessing is that that little boy had that faith to say, "I have my lunch to share. You know, I'll share my little lunch." And that's what we have to do. Well, maybe it is a little. Maybe it's $5 this week I can give you. But we miss out in the blessing. We don't have it. I think, you know, we know later on we continue to read that he multiplied, he thanked God for it, he multiplied it, fed the 5,000, and there was leftovers. And I just imagine that little boy went home with this huge doggy bag and a wonderful story to tell Mom. Look what my lunch did, you know, just because I offered it. He could have walked off to the little corner and just chowed down on his own, but he said, just that childlike faith. "This is what I have, Lord, I'm trusting you. You're going to do something with it." And that's where we need to be. "Lord, this is all I have." And sometimes it's not much. Maybe it's just my time. "Lord, you know where I'm at. Lord knows where we're at. Maybe it's just my time I can give you." And maybe some fruit's going to come out of whether you're knitting a blanket for a baby to bless somebody, or, you know, you're doing children's ministry, whatever the case may be. He's going to bless it, and there's going to be fruit because you're willing. And that's what he wants, is that willing heart. He doesn't need our money. You know, he doesn't need our time. You know, he desires to use us. He desires us to, just like my kids, I desire for them just to pick up the plates without me asking. You know, just say thank you. Just return it. It's already his. He's just lending it. You know, just let's just give a little back. You know, and that's what he's saying. And, let's see. So it's like, you could go to Mark 12. Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a, I always have a problem with, or, I have a problem saying the word, a little bit. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." And that's where he wants us, just willing. She was willing. She probably, you know, Jesus is watching, and it's the town, and there's like these pillars, like there is up here, and there's some boxes, and people are walking by and putting in their gifts, and the rich are waving, "Look what I got," and putting it in. And this poor widow just comes and gives what she has, these 2 mites, which is worth even not even a fraction of a cent to us. And Jesus was blessed by it. And I know that's our desire, is just to simply, we can give a little bit back and just bless him by it. Not that he needs it, and that just from that pure and willing heart of this woman here, how he was blessed. And not, we have to remember, not because he desires or wants it. He wants our willingness. So, in 2 Corinthians 9:6-9 says, "The Lord Lord wants us to give willingly because we want to, not because we have to. And I think that's the key. Once we remember what he's given us and we're thankful, and it's easy to say, I give willingly. And I've heard people struggle with this and maybe upset because, you know, my spouse is giving and we need it, you know, but the Lord, and maybe the Lord's putting on one of the spouses and not the other, but, you know, the Lord just wants it willingly. So next, once we got that part down, and I know that's always like a touchy subject, but we're going to go into being content, and being content with what the Lord has blessed us with, what the Lord has given us. Once we're thankful and willing, we can give back, and we need to look at being content. And so we're going to look at 1 Timothy 6.
What was the Corinthian one?
2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9.
9, 6 through 9. And then now
1 Timothy. First Timothy six. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing and these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
You know, we missed the verse on that one too.
Sorry. I'm sorry. First Timothy
6, what?
6 through 10.
6 through 10.
Yeah. So godliness with contentment is great gain. And I know we would all like to just grow spiritually and be content with just what he promises to give us, with food and clothing and covering, not our name brands and all that other stuff. We like to go shopping. And so we have to ask ourselves, because nowhere does it say contentment is a gift. It's not something he gives us. It's something that we have to work at. And Philippians 4:11 says, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Whatever state I am in, I am to be content. And that's where we need to be. Where if things are heavy and hard right now, we need to be content and say thank you, Lord, and be content with what he promises us. And that's food, clothes, and our shelter. We need to say thank you. We need to, like Joey said, to check ourselves. Are we looking at all those magazines that are telling us we need to look like this person? I need that purse. Am I watching all those TV shows that say I need my hairstyle like that? Or am I walking through the mall and going, you know, oh, that's calling my name, and that's calling my name, and my cell phone's good, but I want that one. You know, we have to check ourselves and restrain from those things and say, hey, no. You know, when I was of the world, I loved to shop and I loved the name brands. And once I became a believer, I'd go to the mall and I would tell my husband, oh, I think it's demonic in there. They're calling my name. No, I really felt like those people were calling my name and saying, come, you need me. You'll feel better if you have me. You know, so we need to, you know, check ourselves. It was real. I really believe that. You know, so we need to see, too, are we shopping to give ourselves, you know, are we shopping as a therapy? Because it feels good. Mm-hmm. It does. You know, we could fall into that. And I think as far as Christian women, those are probably the two things we struggle most with, gossip and shopping or spending. And you know, we need, I did the Crown Financial class, and I suggest that to anybody if they have it at your church to offer, but the biggest thing I got out of it was, I said in one of the books, is just every shopping experience should be a spiritual experience. What? No! How can I do that? Okay. okay, so I need to ask myself while going, I'll ask, is that a need or is it a want? Yeah.
No.
Is that a need or is that, what do I need? You know, even when it comes to groceries, we need groceries. I have no groceries in my house, we need groceries. But do I need the frozen pizzas or, you know, do we need the bread over, you know, bread and eggs, things that I can, you know, bake this quick and make our own good pizza. But, you know, it comes down to that, you know, we got to go down that deep. We need to ask ourselves, no foolish spending, and that's, retreats don't count for that, retreats are. But, you know, just, I'm busy, we're at church all day, and I'm tired, and I don't want to go home and make anything, so it's easier to go through the drive-thru. And it's, again, it's dying to my flesh. No, I just got to go home, and I'm going to have to make something. You know, and the kids are, the kids get content, are content with my decision. It's me that has the problem, you know. I don't want to, you know, we struggle with that. And I'm just going to touch a little bit on credit cards. I know right now a lot of people are maybe living off their credit cards, and they are there for emergency use. We have one credit card. My name is not on it. And we don't, my husband doesn't even carry it, and it's for emergency use only, and I don't believe there's a balance right now either. But, you know, when we may be in a stressful situation and we have to use that credit card, we're not letting God do a work. We're refusing to let him say, I'm going to provide you. Maybe I want to do a miracle, and I want to and stretch that those fish out for you. Like you went and, you know, you took it in your own hands and maybe charged it, or, you know, maybe borrowed the money from your mom or your sister or something like that, you know. But I want to do a work. He wants to bless us with a miracle, and so we can glorify him and tell our friend, man, I don't know, but the Lord provided. You know, I don't know, this was happening, and then the Lord just opened this door. But when we run quick to that plastic, we're refusing him to do a work. And so I'm sure we don't want to miss out on that. But so now we're going to go to Philippians 4:19. And it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory by Christ Jesus. He will provide our needs and not our wants. That's a promise that we need to hold on to. It doesn't say, well, if you're a good girl, I might provide your needs. And, you know, if you're really giving to me, you know, he promises to provide our needs and not our wants. That's that's what we struggle with. I have to remember, okay, you know, Lord, you are, you know. And, you know, once I got this topic, that whole, I think it was like 2 weeks, the Lord was just kind of testing me. And I think when I went to one craft store and bought some things and I left, and I'm driving home, my daughter had on a bracelet that I knew wasn't hers. And I'm like, oh, she's stealing them. You know, I'm like, oh, I got to go back. And I'm halfway home. And I go, okay, I got to go back and take this bracelet back. You know, I could have looked at it and said, well, she's blessed me. No, but it was, I had to go and take, you know, it was only like $1.99. It wasn't probably worth the gas that, you know, I spent just going back, but I had to take it back. And, you know, the Lord was convicting me. He wants us to be honest as well. And then another day we went to Denny's, and I took, I think there was like 7 of us, my niece and nephews, and I got the bill and it was like $24. And I'm like, it's not $24. You know, no way. And I'm looking, it's not our bill. And I could have totally just paid for it. But, you know, but so I went and told the waiter, oh, you know, sorry, this isn't my bill. And he looked at it, he goes, oh, you're right. And he got my correct bill. He goes, well, you're going to have to pay more. Well, it's okay. You know, I know. He was just amazed that, you know, we would do something like that. I know, the Lord is just, you know, we got to be honest, you know, whether it's we're cheating a little bit like that. Even on the way up here, I put gas, and I told him I wanted 20, and it went over to like 20.03. So I went inside, I took my dime, and he says, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Please take it. You know, but I mean, this is to be honest, and I mean that means, and it's so easy to get caught up in the little, like our taxes, tax time, and well, it's, you know, we have to be careful with doing our taxes. They're on. We want them. No, we gotta be honest because this is a gift that the Lord has given me. I'm gonna be fair with it. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna take care of it. I'm gonna be right on. He would desire that to be honest with what he gives us. Now, I'm going to go into a little bit of, well, not done yet, but I know I haven't mentioned, but I have been unemployed for almost 9 years. I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband works, doesn't make a whole lot of money, but all I can say is the Lord's been good. And you know, in a world that tells you need two incomes, and I hear it in the church, people needed two incomes to make it. Well, no, we actually just need our Lord. You know, and not that it's easy, and it's not easy, and not that I doubt, like every other day maybe, you know, every year it comes, and I think I'm going to have to go to work. Yeah, I think I might have to get a job this year. You know, but God is faithful, and that's all, you know, we've been through floods in our house. I've had to live with my mom for a while, braces, and not very good insurance, and my kids, we all wear glasses, and just, you know, broken down cars. We had a car accident that at the time we weren't insured and we had to fix two cars. So it has not been easy, but the Lord is faithful. And people, you know, I can't express it enough how good He is. Because, you know, if it's, like I say, it gets hard in like times like this, I'm like, wow, it is. People are stressing out and I'm having the downsize. But, you know, I'm here to say we can make it because it's bring beans and rice and Jesus Christ. That's what we do. You know, that's what we do. We just got it. We can hold on. We can hold on. But you know, I wanted to say when I remember when I was just quit my job and I made fairly okay money, and I remember everybody at my work was like, "Why are you going to quit? Why are you going to quit?" And we were young believers. And we just felt the Lord telling us that I needed to stay home and be with my kids, and you need to stay home, and okay, we're going to do this. And I don't believe my husband and I sat down and made a pie graph or wrote things down. Look, we were just, you know, like that childlike faith. We were on fire. And we were, okay, we're going to do it. And I remember I wasn't that strong of a Christian to tell people I worked with, like, I'm doing it because the Lord said, but I'm quitting. What are you going to do? I don't know, maybe I'll go to school. I knew I wasn't going to go to school. I was going to take care of my kids. You know, but there was this guy that would just be on me. You know, and I never really talked to him before, but when I told him I was going to quit, what are you going to do? And, you know, you're going to miss out on your benefits. You get the retirement benefits. If I worked maybe 8 months longer, I would have got my package deal or whatever. But this pressure and pressure, and finally I just told him, you know, I'm going to raise my kids so when they grow up, they don't rip you off. And that was enough. You know, he goes, oh, I go, because that's kind of what God would have me to do right now. And, you know, and that's, and, you know, he backed off. But my family members, everybody was like, oh, she's crazy. You know, what are you going to do? We had two car payments, living in Cerritos, which is not a cheap area to live. But we took that step of faith and we said, okay, and I'm still here, unemployed before you today, going, I don't know how we do it, you know, and that's what people mostly ask me is, how do you do it? How are, you know, one income, you're still, you know, and I don't know. The only answer I can give you is in Psalms 50, 10. For every beast in the forest is mine, and the cattle on the thousand hills. I know the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts in the fields, they are mine. So that's my answer to people when they say, how do you do it? I have a rich daddy, and I have a close relationship with him. And when I need things, I call on him. That's my faith that I have to hold on to. Do I have to wait? Yeah, sometimes I have to wait. Do I have to do without? Yeah, a lot of times we have to do without, you know. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But, you know, it's even hard. You know, we got to tell our kids no. Sometimes, And my daughter wanted to play softball, and we don't have it right now. And I had to tell her, no, we can't do it this year. It's a tough year. We need to back out. You know what? She works with my mom. She said, I'm going to save. I'm going to turn in the cans, and I'm blessed. I'm like, all right. You should have done that a lot earlier. But, all these years gone by, I've been paying for it. But, I've had to trust him. To truly trust in the Lord. And we know Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and not on your own understanding. In all your ways, he will acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I don't understand anything that I'm doing. I mean, with our finances, I really don't. All I know is that I trust him. I'm thankful for what he's giving me. And he does direct our path. I'm able to stay home. We're in a house now. I have a house. I don't have a leaking roof. And I have a car. What else can I ask for? And I'm going to use them all to bring him glory. And that's what he simply wants us to do, is trust him. We're his daughters. He loves us, and he wants us to trust in him. And we have to trust him because we don't know it. I haven't met anybody, and I don't know if any stories in the Bible that say the Lord didn't meet his promise, mm-hmm. or the Lord let him down. The Lord promises to provide for your needs, and he will. So that's simply what he wants us to do, is to trust, to pray to him, to give to him thanks, thank him for what we have, and just trust in him. And I really feel, as I've gotten into the study these last couple weeks, is what I've been praying, Lord, what do you want me to tell these ladies? What do you want me to give to them from you? And that's what he wants you just to know, is that you are his princess. I don't care, it doesn't matter how old we are, you are his princess. He loves you. He's not going to let us down, and you've been paid for by a precious gift. For Christmas, my daughter bought me this basket, and it's from Pier 1, and I know it was expensive, but it's a cute little, has a place for my potatoes and stuff, and then up here for your fruit, and I know it cost a lot, because I'd seen it, and I was like, well, I thought Daddy probably helped her out, no big deal, thank you, I like it. But later on, a month later, I realized, and it came out that she sold her iPod to buy my basket. Wow. And if you have a teenager, you need iPod, cell phone, and Doritos. But she let go of her iPod to buy me this basket. Now, I like the basket, but now that I know that it has been paid for with her iPod, her shoe sacrifice, that basket is so much more precious to me. My son is learning to play basketball and throwing his stuff in it. It's precious. I'm proud of it. We come over, you can see my basket. And that's what you are. You are a precious basket. The Lord has bought you with the precious sacrifice of his son. And he's not going to say, you're not going to make it. Things might look, the world is going to tell us it's tough and there's no hope. But we need to guard our hearts, like we read earlier. Guard our hearts, guard our minds from the news, from the people, the talk around us, from the newspaper, from our family members, our work, people we work with that are hopeless. Because our hope is in Jesus Christ. And just remember, you're his princess. And he's not going to let you down. No one's going to mess with his precious best. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for just your word and your promises, Lord God, and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. And so I pray for your big comforting arms just to wrap us, Lord. As our finances are just yours, and sometimes we put our trust in them, and without them we may be scared, Lord. But help us to know we have a rich daddy. We have a big daddy that loves us, Lord God. So I pray for all these women here that they would draw closer to you and be just lift it up in your promises, Lord. And we praise and we love you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.